We've got some exciting news. Our podcast is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love the most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. This is how it works. Sign up for our contest, Bleav Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com. And then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electronic sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest, Bleav. That's B-L-E-A-V, football, pick 'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to PlayActionPools.com today. They've got Survivor Pick'em as well as a cool sports book style concept called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your news home for all your office sports pools.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another week of the Bleav in the U podcast. I'm here with my main man, the StuCast. We're going to talk about the game against Alabama. We're going to talk some college football. Kind of the state of the program, where Miami is heading. Stu, thank you again for joining me, man. I know this was a game that you're a big bettor. You're an avid bettor. You love to, the numbers, the games, the spreads, take the over, the under. This is your thing. You didn't even want to bet on this game because you had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge Alabama in total fan this year. I think this was like more of a rebuilding year, so I didn't know what we were going to kind of get. Sometimes they do come out sluggish first game of the season, and Miami was a complete unknown. I think there was a lot of problems of like, okay, well, are we going to get a better pass rush? Are we going to get a good run defense? Is Deere coming back 100%? And so it just didn't appeal to me because I just didn't feel like I had any. And at 19 and a half, 20 points, I didn't have enough ideas in it to get me jazzed about it. So I just stayed away.
Yeah. You know, I think what was disappointing for me, I mean, there were so many things. I'd never seen, like, just play calling wise, I never expected Rhett Lashley to come out with this game plan. And I feel like it kind of handcuffed De'Aaron King in this offense from really, putting up a good game. I'm still like, I'm worried. My question is around it. All we do is just run RPOs and a lot of zone reads, and it's just nothing makes sense. You run the ball 3rd and 7. You're down by 27. You're still running the football. Nobody beats Alabama on the ground unless you have a stellar running back room. We'll start off with Reggie Bush as your starting running back, right? In college. What do you think was the ideology around this scheme for Alabama?
Well, what I saw, Miami works best when they have a viable running attack, right? I think this offensive line, it was good to see Zion Nelson. I know that was something that we had talked about. It was good to see him in the ball game, but Miami's offense works best when that threat of the run is there. Right. I don't think they wanted to do. If I was calling the plays, I would have taken a shot downfield. But they don't respect the run, so they can kind of play off that. And plus, Bama was getting pressure regardless of anything else. I think that was a big concern too. The offensive line just got manhandled. I mean, that's just basically it. So if you can't establish the run, and every time you drop back to pass, you have about two seconds to get the ball out of your hands. It's going to be hard to throw it downfield. It's going to be hard to do anything other than slants or, the wide receiver screens or the halfback dumps into the flats. Like they were kind of hamstrung for a good portion of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're kind of seeing with that 3rd and 7 type stuff. Although I agree with you as a fan, it's brutal to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's atrocious. You're coaching scared, believe in your players. You have a shortlist Heisman contender is what college football said. Kirk Herbstreit said he could be the face of college football. Use him. Okay. Do not handcuff him. And, I felt like King played fairly well, 21 out of 26 going into the third quarter. And you know, did get messy in the fourth quarter. There was a pick, an awful one, you know, a couple bad passes, but, you know, I thought he didn't play a bad game. So,
no, Derek played fine. I think when we talked last night on the Scoop on the U, you asked me what the positives are. Well, I think that could go on the list of positives. Look, that pass to Restrepo showed you what you can get this year. Yeah. That is beautiful. It was on the money. It showed you what Deer can do. And hey, Restrepo really, I mean, he was out there running some nice routes. He's a guy that you guys have targeted all off season. And I think he came to play. That's huge. Getting that third guy. Mike Harley was on the side of a milk carton. But we're accentuating the positives here, right? I thought Rambo had some sure hands, and that's really going to pay off. The offensive line, look, it's hard to grade them out. When you're going up against four guys that are all NFL players,
right?
It's real tough. And Will Anderson, you know, with Thibodeau's injury out at Oregon, Will Anderson might just be the best defensive end in the country. Just might be it. I mean, you know, I couldn't imagine playing a tougher defense than maybe Georgia. I think Georgia proved that they're going to be pretty tough this year.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do, right, Paul? I don't know what to say more about the game. It's really, it's a litmus test. It's a check in how your program is. And Miami, just at the end of the day, still isn't there. They just aren't there yet.
Do you still think Manny is the right guy at Miami? Because hear me out now. UNC was a 600 rushing yards, not even total yards, 600 rushing yards. Clemson, you lose by 25. Against Wisconsin, when he was defensive coordinator, you get blown out by 30. Against Clemson in the ACC title game, you don't show up. As a defensive coordinator, against LSU, was awful. They were like playing on fast forward. We were on rewind. It's basically literally what we saw today. He's never shown up as a defensive coordinator against big games. His teams have never been prepared, and they played down to lower opponents as well. Is Manny Diaz the right guy? Is there still hope that he can put Miami to the ACC title game consistently?
Double-sided answer, and I'm not trying to play like a guy that's lukewarm. I'm going to give you a take. It just is going to take me a second to get there. I believe coaches, Manny's in his 30s. Right.
Right.
I'm kind of the way I look at last year, it happened, but it didn't happen. Just so many weird things about it. It almost pressed pause on a lot of things. Right. So you have to forgive certain things that happened last year due to COVID. If I'm a fan of a program, my team, my alma mater, they're breaking in Mel Tucker. This is his quote unquote second year. I'm not going to be a real judge of Mel because if for at least a couple of years. And the reasons are, look, when you come into a program, you have to change it the way you want to. Is there some continuity that he was there prior to becoming a head coach? Yeah, but it's his vision. So you got to get your vision. You got to get your players and you got to develop your concepts, your team concepts. It's a different offense. It's a different defense. And you got to recruit to that. Saying that, I always want to give a coach, I believe by year five, you know what you have. You know where you're going.
Okay.
You got your first recruiting class, and we're either trending up or we're trending down or we're staying stagnant. I feel like Manny Diaz is heading towards, in my mind, he's heading towards that plateau idea that Miami's just going to be good enough to be in contention, to be in the ACC championship game year in, year out. They're going to be that one of those top two, top three teams contending for the ACC championship. Hey, they may just get there and you know, get to play in the game. But they're not going further than that. And I think if that's what it ends up being, then you're going to probably have to be looking for a head coach. But he still has to get another year or two to really figure it out. Because recruiting-wise, he's succeeding. We see Shamar Stewart in Miami gear decked out at the game yesterday.
That was yesterday.
What's that?
That was yesterday, Stu.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened in that game.
Well, no. Shamar Stewart, I saw him waiting in line for the game.
I know, Stu, but like Georgia, like it's either Georgia or Miami, and Georgia like looked pretty damn good defensively.
Miami. But look, you're talking week one doesn't decide where kids go. Okay. Kids make decisions that are.
Georgia looks great.
We don't see.
Georgia.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. They do. But you know what? Right. Maybe he wants to go play for the U.
All right. Good for him.
And the U still got branding, and he's a South Florida kid, right?
He's in Miami. Yep.
Tough. You know, there's a lot going for Miami there. I'm not counting out anything based on week one. That's silly. But like being around and being alive to guys like that is vital. It's vital to the program, because whoever takes over the next coach, if Manny doesn't get the job done, is going to have to face that problem of Georgia, Bama, and everybody else in the country wants to come down to Miami and take the best kids.
So, sorry to cut you off, Stu.
No, you're good.
I know you're a big App State fan. You like the conference, which is, I don't know. I'm not into that kind of.
It's the Fun Belt. You treat it like it's like
G5.
Like, you know, moving some endangered species.
It's like minor league baseball. I don't watch.
Okay, that's a hot take.
And some people like it. Well, I mean, tell me about this App State team, because, like, honestly, like, I think it's going to be a competitive game. Like, I really do think so. I think it's going to be a marginal game where App State might have an opportunity to win.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with a couple friends last night, and we were trying to come up with a line for the game. And I think maybe 8.5, 9.5 is where it opens up.
I agree.
Look, with App State, they played Eastern Carolina. I watched that game. That was on Thursday night. Eastern Carolina is a pretty decent, fair to average to okay team. They might actually beat South Carolina this week. I know that's not saying much about, you know, because it's South Carolina, but that's about the level of the team, right? So they're not bad. They're not great, but they're not bad, certainly. App State defensively was bringing tons of heat. They've got a really great defensive end, Demetrius Taylor, who might be the best D end in the Sun Belt. Defensively, I always look at them as like a top 20 team this year when I was just kind of combing through. They just got a lot of seniors, a lot of guys with experience, and they're gonna mix up their blitz packages in a much different way than what, you know, Miami saw week one against Alabama, just schematically. Good secondary.
Offensively.
Offensively, they got a two-headed running back attack. And I challenge folks, go look at Cameron Peoples. He is a kid that is clearly going to be an NFL player. He's electric. He's very shifty. He's tall. He's lanky kid. He can get through the tackles. And then they got Nate Noel, who's more of a stockier, you know, punch in the mouth type running back. But last week, 226 yards on 29 carries between the two of them. I thought we saw what Chase Bryce, former Duke quarterback, you guys saw him last year on that dreadful team.
He's awful.
He came in 256 and two TDs. And so, really, it's all play action.
By the way, Stu, like, just random question. Why would you leave Duke to go to App State? Like, unless you
App State's a better gig than Duke, brother.
I'm talking about getting a college degree.
He's talking about, okay, Chase Bryce went to Clemson, then he went to Duke, and now he's at App State. I don't think getting the college degree is
not playing in the NFL. Just get your college degree.
You know, they call Boone, North Carolina, the Harvard of the South.
I've never heard that in my life.
Some people say it.
I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for 3 years.
Some people have said it.
I've never heard that in my 3 years living in Raleigh, North
Carolina. I've heard it from some
people. I've never heard that at all. Anyways, I also heard Bryce Young was better than Jalen Milroe, but other people thought differently.
I think most of Alabama thought.
Yeah, that. I think the entire nation agrees now. Bryce Young is amazing.
Again, not what I said, but
okay. I mean, thank you for the 7K views, though.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. That's still wild to me. Like people are still chirping me about it, and it's like, that's not what I said, but all right.
I love it, man. So, Stu, Miami App State seems like it's going to be a 10-point spread, what we're looking at right now.
Miami should win.
Paul. Do you think App State can pull it off?
I know some friends of mine that really want to pull for App State and be, you know, hot take artists. But look, at the end of the day, it's a talent gap. I don't know how you stop De'Aaron King in that offense. You know, App State, for as good as they are, I think they can put up a fight, but the talent edge at every single position spot, I think it's a little bit too much for them.
This segment was presented by Bet Online. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, and we are back. Stu, I'm not going to lie, man. It was a crazy week of college football. There were a ton of upsets, a lot of close games. But I'll tell you what, man, tonight Florida State is playing Notre Dame. And in my opinion, I got Florida State winning this game. I know I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan. I'm not supposed to say this. Think about this. It's a home game in Tallahassee. It's going to be sold out. Bobby Bowden, this is going to be like, you know, it's an emotional game. Bobby Bowden passed away. First time Florida State's playing a football game after Bobby Bowden hasn't been a head coach, you know, that he's not alive. He's probably not going to watch it. This is going to be an emotional game. Notre Dame's always fairly overrated every year, like Miami. I got Florida State winning.
I don't think that's crazy. I think there's people that agree with you. The line's gone down by about 3-4 points. So I think Vegas is trending in your direction. I think it really depends on what you really believe about where this Florida State program is headed. I mean, you look at last year, tons of offseason issues, tons. Mike Norvell almost got canned in the offseason because of things said and disagreements, a lot of strife, a lot of problems in his first year coming over from Memphis. You see him lose to a bad Georgia Tech team, and I hate Georgia Tech now. They're forever done, dead to me. By the end of the season, they were playing pretty well. There's talent on this team. I think Mackenzie Milton, it's going to be great to see what he does back from a horrific injury. And look, this Notre Dame team, you're going to get what you always get, a really good running game with Kyren Williams. You're going to get a really stout, solid defense. I think Marcus Freeman being there is a huge, that was one of the biggest not talked about coups to happen over the offseason, because him not going to LSU kind of ended up hurting LSU, I think. But I'm not a Jack Cohn guy. I saw him at Wisconsin, a game manager. He's not going to be Ian Book running around, scrambling, getting you 50 yards and heaving it deep. I'm just not a Jack Cohn guy. I need to be proven wrong on that. And that makes this game really interesting, because Florida State may not have to do too much to pull this one out in Tallahassee.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. You know, that quarterback situation from Florida State it's ugly. Like you mentioned, Mackenzie Milton, he had an atrocious injury, and I just don't think he's ready to go. You know, it really did hamper his career. And Jordan Travis, I guess that's their other quarterback. I don't think he's a thrower at all.
I think if McKenzie's playing, I think there's enough there. I think there's enough there, and guys are coming back from bad injuries, and have been able to be productive. When I remember him at UCF, the one thing that I would say about him is that he's great about not making dumb decisions. And that is a very key component, especially when he's going to come up against, you know, a really solid defense. I can't knock Notre Dame's defense, even though I wish I could.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting game. What are your other thoughts on the, you know, the other slate of college football games, you know, that occurred? Ohio State was in a dogfight. So was Oklahoma. You know, it seemed like, and North Carolina lost too. I think Indiana lost, LSU lost. A lot of teams lost or were in dogfights. Do you think that's kind of the outcome of college football this season? Just a lot of upsets and a lot of sleeper teams?
I think it's a little bit too early for me to give like a great answer. I mean, because that's a great question and I have to think about it more. But I think when you look at what happened to Washington losing to Montana, when you look at the North Carolina game, when you look at the Indiana game, a lot of the teams from last year, you're right, did not necessarily transfer into the first game. On paper, these guys should be rolling. First game of the season, not so much. Is that just a really tough spot? Is it, you know, they're coming off a tough season? Is it guys left? I don't know. All I know is that it looked like week one, there was a lot of rusty teams out there. And then on the other side of it, there was a lot of teams that maybe were just not high enough on. Like Iowa looks like they could honestly make it to the Big Ten championship and
really
give. I think you look at that way that defense, and towards the latter part of last season, the signs were there that this defense was deadly. They absolutely manhandled Indiana at the point of attack on both sides of the ball, really did whatever they wanted to. And Indiana's got a good defense. Yeah. Like, I don't know what you do with it. I think the signs are there. It's going to take a couple weeks to really get a feel for what's going on. But yeah, I mean, like Washington losing to Montana just like is crazy to me. And New Mexico State was up 10-0 on San Diego State. Like, I don't understand some of the outcomes that we had yesterday, but I mean, that's what film's for and highlight tapes. And that's what my day's going to be.
You know, the team that impressed me the most besides Tulane, because I thought they look like a good scrappy team.
Tulane's a sneaky team, Paul. Yeah. Like as much as people hate on, you know, the AAC, with Pratt's been a good QB, and they've got those brothers at wideout that are like wildly speedy. They were both 2-4 stars that Willie Fritz got to come to Tulane.
Yeah.
Willie Fritz can recruit, especially in Florida. Willie gets the job done. But yeah, continue. Sorry to cut you off.
You know, Michigan State's win over Northwestern week one, they were underdogs. I think it was like a 4.5 spread. I mean, hell of a job. I mean, that's a team. I love Mel Tucker. You know I do. Watch out. Circle Michigan State this year. I think that's going to be a program on the rise. They're trending in the right direction. Do you guys play Michigan this year?
Yeah, we play them every year.
We'll beat them this year.
Yeah, I really hope so. I wasn't
last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't like floored by Michigan's performance the other day. And they lost their best offensive player in Ronnie Bell. So that's gonna hurt. But yeah, Michigan State, when they go to play Miami, that's gonna be a super interesting game. Again, I picked Miami to have over 10 wins. I picked Miami to win the Coastal. That hasn't changed for me off of yesterday.
Well, Virginia Tech, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, look, I said in my mind, VaTech and NC State were your two scariest games.
Right.
Not North Carolina. Not Michigan State. Not App State. I think those are tough games. and you're going to find out a lot about this team, and you're going to get punched in the mouth a couple times. But I think at the end of the day, Miami, those are the kinds of games. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a basketball thing, you know, where it's like we scheduled the tough teams up early, so, you know, we're more battle tested late. I don't know. But that is a pretty tough schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be an interesting year for the Coastal again. We'll see what happens. Tentatively, Miami, when they lose the first game, it becomes a rocky season. This is going back since we played, I think.
Yeah, but that's like that. That's such a bad
thing. It's on our AD. Why do you schedule these games?
Look, I mean, just because you lost Alabama, there's no shame in that game. That, like, I mean, if Alabama plays 99.9% of college football, the same thing happens. If they played my Spartans, the same thing would happen. I don't know that we would get the 13, but, like, it is what it is. The first game is just it's telling you where the program is. Like I said earlier, I think that's the way you got to look at it. And you're not there yet. You want to be there someday. Look, hey, if I'm looking around, I go, okay, well, you know, that's where we failed. But, hey, we can get after Clemson. We can, you know, we can get pumped up. We can start looking at everything's still on the table. Like I told you last night, everything is still in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All your
absolutely.
Goals are in front of you.
I'm worried because the schedule is tough. You got App State. You got Michigan State. That's – I'm telling you, that's going to be a shootout. You have NC State. You got North Carolina. You got Virginia Tech. Like, the schedule's heating up. Like,
I think Miami wins against App State and Michigan State. And I don't think it's like going to be necessarily like a nail biter. I think they win those games somewhat comfortably. And that's a Michigan State fan. I just think there's too much talent. With Derek on the field, it's just, you know, the only reason Alabama was able to stop him yesterday is because of how great their defense is. And as much as I love Michigan State, it's just not there. But you're right, Vatek, that secondary is elite. There's some NFL, there's some Sunday guys on that defensive.
Their defense is very good.
But Baumeister, who I thought was better than Hendon Hooker last year,
yeah,
he proved it. That team's fast. And NC State, look, I mean, Illyri and Zavron Knight are like, or Zonovan Knight are like, God, that's a tough offense too. I mean, they pound that rock. So I'd be more concerned about those games. I think we saw what North Carolina is. I think that game is going to be a little bit of a revenge game. And that's a game that'll tell you a lot about the program too, because Miami should win that game. And if they make it close, if it's a tough, hard fought game, I think then we can ask some different questions about where this team is headed.
We'll see, man. It's the beauty of the season. Everyone has these predictions and none of it is even remotely going to come close to being true. So, we'll see what happens for the Miami Hurricanes, for college football as a whole. But I'll say this, Georgia, Alabama, that is my college football prediction for the national title game.
Yeah, I get. Well, so would they play each other? So they're going to play each other in the SEC championship.
Yep.
And then they're going to play each other in the – so Alabama wouldn't be four, they would be three.
Yeah, it would have to work out seating wise.
I don't know. I mean, crazier things have happened.
Yeah. I think didn't they already play for a national title game previously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Run it back.
Yeah.
Georgia looks good. If JT Daniels can figure it out, I mean, sky's the limit. That's scary.
Yeah. Hey, Stu, it was a pleasure to have you on again, man. I greatly appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. And thank you, man. I greatly appreciate your perspective, even if it's sometimes off with Bryce Young and
okay.
The fun belt.
He didn't get past his first read on like 70% of his throws. Stand
Bryce,
by.
Bryce Young looked like the next John Elway.
didn't say he wouldn't. I just said that, hey, they're going to go play in the swamp against Florida. They're going to go to College Station and play against Texas A&M. Look, if you're not getting past your first read there, and this is no slight on Miami, but if you're not getting past your first read there, you're going to have an issue. That's all I'm saying.
All right. The Stew has spoken. Thank you again, Stew. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul, as always, brother.
And always, this episode was presented by BetOnline.com. Have a great day, everyone.